This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Well, you all have done me like they did me on yesterday. Yesterday, I thought I had crossed every T and dotted every I and was prepared to come up and do what I generally do in the manner that I do it. But the Spirit of God came into this place. And I had to acknowledge, well, you all have just thrown me off course. You all have just thrown me off. And that's where it should be, because it's never about us. It's always about him. Amen. When Pastor Tillman and I talked about me coming here, we've been discussing this for a while. And so when I sent him some possible dates, earlier, I inadvertently included Easter Sunday as a possible date. And his reply was, no, I need to preach. You know, Pastor really needs to preach on Easter Sunday. And I agree with him, because Easter Sunday and Christmas are two of those days when you actually get the opportunity to preach to the annual members. Amen. But this is another holiday on the Christian calendar, 50 days after Easter, after the resurrection, the Pentecost, when the Spirit of the living God manifests himself into the church, and the church was equipped to go out and do ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So I'm happy to be here with you all. Just a few acknowledgments. Again, thank you, Pastor Tillman. I knew Pastor Tillman growing up. Amen. I'm 2 years older than he is. Amen. Amen. So we've been, I can actually remember, even though I was very young, when his father was called the pastor, the Shiloh Baptist Church there in Brunswick, Georgia. And because there were a number of the congregants living in the community that I grew up in, that whenever he came through the community, the people would say, that's our new pastor, that's our new pastor, that's Pastor Tillman. And I got to know him on a very personal level, enjoyed fellowshipping with him, had the opportunity to stand in his pulpit on a number of occasions, and here I am today. And this is powerful, beautiful evidence. The oldest black congregation in all of America, First African Baptist Church, here in Savannah, Georgia. And I am indeed grateful. To First Lady Tillman, to all the members of this great congregation, to my wife, June 28th, we will celebrate 43 years. Amen. Going to ask that she would stand so you all could see her. Please stand so you all can see her. Amen. And I certainly want to thank Deacon and Sister Baker from the Second Arnold Missionary and Baptist Church. They have sort of adopted us as our Savannah parents. So they are here to worship. Deacon Baker was with us on yesterday, and he's here with us and his wife again on today. So this awesome music group, didn't they bless our heart? My. You blessed us. That God's grace. We have a young lady that sings that in our congregation, and that's one of our standards, especially when the folks are not saying amen like they should. We'll have her break out in that song to get them moving. But God is good and God is great. And our God is greatly to be praised. Sister Gillespie, are you in the house this morning, Sister? She's downstairs. Well, I want you all to tell her thank you for me, for all the help that she did in making sure we got here and everything was taken care of. When I talked to her on the phone, she sounded sort of First African Baptist. Amen. God bless you. But we're excited again about being here with you on today. To all those who come, visitors from near and far, to be in this worship experience, thank you for sharing. We're going to move on. Won't be before you long, but we want to be before you strong. Amen? Amen. I'm going to sing a line or two of this song, then read our scripture and pray, and then we'll move on. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, God has, He smiled on me. He's been good to me. He's the source of all my joy. He fills me with His love. Everything that I need, He sends it down from above. Hallelujah, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, God, hallelujah, smiled on me. He's been good to me. Watch this now. A light unto my path is He. Without Him I would fall. I don't know what is to you, but God is my all and all. Do you believe that today? Sing it with me. Hallelujah, God. Oh, smile on me. He has set me free. Oh, God, hallelujah, He's been good to me. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank You for the opportunity to stand here in this holy place and impart to Your people what You have given unto me. Father, less of me and more of You. For the people are saying, sir, we would see Jesus. We've come to lift you up in this place on today. We've come to magnify your name. We come to give your name honor and glory. Truly, you are worthy to be praised. Father, we did not come to receive the honor, glory, and praise of men, but we came to lift you up. So if there be any honor, if there be any glory, if there be any praise, it all belongs to you. Truly, you are worthy to be praised. So, Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be accepted in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. From the very first chapter of the book of Acts, verse number 8, you will find these words. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I want to talk with you this morning for the next few moments from this subject, empowered for a purpose. Empowered for a purpose. This weekend has been about men. And I'm quite sure all of you will agree with me when I say that the church has a tremendous responsibility to take seriously its God-given mandate to make a difference in the lives of all the men we contact. We must always strive to enlighten, uplift, encourage, motivate, empower, strengthen, support emotionally, physically, and spiritually all the men of our congregation, and then reach out to the men of our community to help them to live lives that have meaning and purpose, and to do all we can to help them become all that God has ordained them to become. Men who will embrace the words of the hymn writer when he writes, Father, lead me day by day, ever in thine own way. Teach me how to be pure and true. Show me what I ought to do. And when I'm tempted to do wrong, make me steadfast, wise, and strong. And when all alone I stand, shield me with thy mighty hand. An unknown author writes these words. He says, a good man spreads happiness everywhere he goes, leaving everyone he meets feeling a little better than they did before. He's a pleasure to be around, an inspiration in good times and bad, a gift for all seasons. He's a good man. A good man is a gift to all who know him. He's dependable like the sunshine because his goodness springs from inner strength and not outward circumstances. A good man is a gift from God. God wants a man courageous like Joshua, self-reliant like Nehemiah, full of faith like Abraham, persevering like Jacob, decisive like Moses, above reproach like Daniel, long-suffering like Paul, powerful like Elisha, master of passions like Joseph, bold like Peter and John, and godlike like Enoch. And if we are sincere about making a difference in the lives of men, it will take more than just plans and programs. It will take a power far greater than ourselves. And in the book of Acts, the power needed for success, not only in men's ministry, but any ministry, is given. In his introduction to the book of Acts, John Maxwell says, Acts is a book of action. It's about the initiative and action of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the disciples who formerly were cowardly, unsure, and in many instances, unlearned. Notice it's called Acts and not Reacts. In the introduction to Max Lucado Inspirational Study Bible, he asks this question: are these the same men? They look like it. They have the same names. They have the same mannerisms. Peter is still as brazen as ever. Nathaniel is still reflective. And Philip is still calculating. They look the same, but they aren't. They aren't the same men you read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as you read the books of Acts, you'll wonder, are these the same guys? The ones who doubted in Galilee? The ones who argued in Capernaum, the ones who ran for their lives in Gethsemane, The answer is no. They're different. We cannot forget, my brothers and sisters, how often while their master was with them, there was strife among the disciples as to who was going to be the greatest. But now all the strife has ended. They had prayed more together than ever before. Within them dwells a fire not found on earth. Christ has taught them. The Father has forgiven them. The Spirit indwells them. They are not the same. Christ had told the disciples that he would send the Spirit, and he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. John chapter 15, verses 26 through 7. And from that moment, as they bore witness to the Savior, the Holy Spirit bore witness at the same time in the hearts and multitudes and number of people were brought to the Lord. Jesus promised to give us power. You will receive power. Jesus promised to give us power for a purpose. He said, you will be my witnesses. But he told us to wait patiently for the power. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And then Jesus promised that he would never leave us. And that promise was kept when he came on Pentecost as the Holy Spirit, God's continuing presence in our lives. Nearly 2,000 years ago, a match was struck in Palestine. At first, just a few in that corner of the world were touched and warm. But the fire spread beyond Jerusalem, beyond Judea, and out to the world and all the people. The church was empowered for its life and ministry in the name and to the glory of God in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Am I in the book today? Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you and you shall be my witness. Now watch this. You cannot be a witness until the Holy Ghost evidence himself through you. Before this happens, you will be concerned with what others think of you. You will be intimidated and feel inadequate as if you're not up to par. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll realize that you're not putting your name, but God's name on the line. And all you do is for his purposes. The apostles' mission of spreading the gospel was the primary reason the Holy Spirit empowered them. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. This courageous band preached, taught, healed, and demonstrated love in synagogues, schools, homes, and markets, on streets, hills, ships, and desert roads. Wherever God sent them, lives were changed. The disciples were simple, straightforward, and successful. They moved with a zeal that could not be quenched and with an unflinching courage. They depended entirely upon the power of God through his Spirit. Well, watch this now. So many ministries fail because it's an individual ministry and not the Holy Spirit's. You see, the Holy Spirit must empower you. And where the Holy Spirit empowers you, you will find fruitfulness and productivity. People often want ministry because they want recognition. Say amen if you ain't scared. And they want to oversee something. But you must be baptized and empowered by the Holy Spirit for supernatural ministry. It can be argued that what happened at Pentecost was the empowerment of power upon the church for service. And on that day, the assembly left where they were and went to work. They went into the streets and began witnessing. They saw service not as something that happens in church, but as something outside. So they went out. Legendary coach Tony Dungy's book, Uncommon, says, God knows where we are, both in physical location and spiritual maturity. He sees our spheres of influence, the places we have access to, and the people we know. Those spheres of influence may include our nuclear and extended family, and our neighborhood, workplace, and nearby community. That's our Jerusalem. From there, we move into the areas such as cities and towns and among our friends, wherever they are located. That's our Judea. And then other extended areas of influence across our region and nation, within our universities, governments, and other places of impact. That's our Samaria and well beyond. You shall be my witnesses is the heart of the book of Acts. It is true that Christ alone can save the world, but Christ cannot save this world alone. Thank I will, Pastor Tillman. It is true that Christ alone can save the world, but Christ cannot save this world alone. Salvation comes to the world through Christ Jesus, Acts 4 and 12. Hence, men must know him, but his plan includes us, you and me. This is his plan. The call to go into all the world as Christian witnesses continues to be the church's mission today. And Pastor Tillman, I don't know who changed the agenda. where the Great Commission now has become the Great Omission. You and I are his witnesses today in the place where God has chosen to plant you. You're not here, and I'm not sure whether this is a word or not. You're not here by happenstance. God appointed and anointed you here in this place. So may we be willing to die to self, live to Christ, and be led by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the glorious gospel of Christ. It is the power of his might to whomever God puts into your path. See, too many of us, we ready to board a ship and go to foreign land, and we won't witness to our neighbors next door. The activated church is the hope of the world as we follow the Holy Spirit's lead and operate in his power. The gospel spreads to the end of the earth. People meet Jesus and their lives begin to change. The greedy become generous. The foolish become wise. And the selfish become servants. The hymn writer expresses it well when he writes, "I have a yearning in my heart that cannot be denied. It's a longing that has never been satisfied. I want the world to know the one who loves me so like a flame is burning deep inside to be used by God to sing, to speak, to pray, to preach, to be used by God to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming fire to be used by God is my desire." Let me encourage you as I hasten to close this message to remember that you are empowered for a purpose. And that purpose is to tell dying men and women, boys and girls, that you know a man from Galilee. And if you are in sin, he will set you free. Let them know that in Jesus Christ, we have a Savior. Yes, beloved, in Jesus Christ, we have a Savior. When Jesus came, he raised us by his power, healed us with his touch, strengthened us by his power. With his mercy, he forgave us. By his grace, he blessed us. With his word, he instructs us. Jesus was gracious, though bound, truthful, though disbelieved, innocent, though condemned, forgiven, though forsaken, victorious, though dying. When Jesus came, he cleansed our sin-infected wounds, wrapped us in the bandages of his love, and healed us with the oil of his anointing. Then he lifted up on the wings of the Spirit. Jesus decided that our conversion was worth an old rugged cross and that our salvation was worth a spear in his side. He decided that our redemption was worth a reed of vinegar, that our breakthrough was worth Judas' betrayal, and that our deliverance was worth Peter's denial. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he would sacrifice his life for me, but I'm glad. So glad he did. And because he saved me, I must tell somebody about his saving power. Jesus will give us a testimony that will bring others to Christ. Our testimony can save somebody else's life. The Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of their testimony. Somebody needs to hear your testimony. Somebody needs to know that you made it through. Somebody needs to listen to your story of triumph over tragedy. Somebody needs to hear your story of hope in despair. Somebody needs to tell that single mother or single father that they can make it. Somebody needs to tell the story of how they beat their addiction. Somebody needs to hear your story of how you overcame obstacles through God's sustaining power. I'm out of here when I say this. The church of old used to sing a song. I got it over, but that's not my question, because I know how I got over. I met a man. His name was Jesus, and we had an exchange program. I gave him my sorrows, and he gave me his joy. I gave him my confusion, and he gave me his peace. I gave him my despair, and he gave me his hope. I gave him my hatred, and he gave me his love. I gave him my sin-sick soul, and he washed me in his precious blood. And now I'm whiter than snow. That's how I got over. I don't have to look back and wonder how I got it over. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the lily of the valley. Thank God for the bright and morning star. One day, I'm out of here. One day, I called upon his name. He picked me up. He turned me around. Placed my feet on solid ground. He put clapping in my hand. He put running in my feet. He put a brand new song in my heart. So this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. God bless you.
If you're here today and you understand and you know it was the blood for you, look at the witness of those around you who's saying, I know it was the blood for me. I know that Jesus came, died for my sins, rose from the grave, and he's coming back again. If you're here today and you want to join that caravan that has joy in the midst of sorrow, that have peace in the midst of confusion because of what the Lord has done on this Pentecost Sunday, what great Sunday to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. If you're here today, if you're online and you want to accept the Lord as your Savior, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come on today. If you're in the building, you can just walk down the aisles, give us your hand, but guard your heart. If you're online, you can just type the word SAVE to the number that you see on the screen. Won't you come today? Because we know it was the blood. We know that he died. He died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Won't you come today? Hallelujah. To God be the glory. What a mighty God we serve. Listen, we thank God for you coming to worship, to share with us. Let's thank God again for the man of God and the word of God that was preached on this day. To God be the glory. Y'all might not believe it, but he held back some this morning. Yeah, if you ever been to the convention and he does his president's address, every preacher said, wait a minute, where's that license of yours? To God be the glory. Thank you so much, Deacon Latner. We thank God for you coming to share with us at First African. Thank you, First African. Thank you, our guests. God continues to bless, guide, and direct us. We've done as the Lord has commanded, and yet there's still room. We're asking as we pray together, we share together, as we go about to do the things God has called us to do, let's know that we were empowered for a purpose. We are to be witnesses everywhere we go.
let's allow the Lord to guide us, keep us, and use us. We want to thank in a very special way Brother Spencer White III for sharing with us today in music. God bless you, Spencer. God bless you. Thank God for him. And we continue to give God praise for all that he's done. Let us stand. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, we come humbly before you, thanking you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. Thank you for the man of God that shared the word of God. We pray you continue to bless he, his wife, his family, the ministry you've given unto him, the General Missionary Baptist Convention, the Layman's Auxiliary, our men's ministry here at First African Baptist Church and beyond. Guide and keep us, God, as we grow to go and be who you called us to be. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God sing.
Amen. Amen.
Just remain seated for a moment, those in the sanctuary, as the ushers will escort you out. We're still keeping our distance. I know we're still hugging and carrying on, but we're keeping our distance still in COVID. God bless you. Thank you. Those who want to volunteer for Vacation Bible School, please come this way and see Sister Ward. Thank you.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.